This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life the child, her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outward and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Sorry, sorry, sorry. Okay, so, is anyone here for the first time? You! Ah, Lauren's here for the first time.
I am.
Have you meditated before? I think I know the answer. Yeah.
Yes,
we know Lauren. You used to be the librarian, right?
I did, yes.
When was that? Was I still sitting next to Ajahn Brahm? Like, I stopped doing the whole Upatak thing, being his attendant, in about 2013, I think.
I started being librarian in 2015.
Okay. Anyway, there you go. So you've been around the traps for a while, so it's okay. I don't have to worry too much. So what shall I talk about today? Who's got some ideas? Bob, you're always a fountain of ideas.
Come on.
What about you? It's okay. It's kind of my responsibility to come up with something to talk about. I very much admire Ajahn Brahm because not only can he give a talk, but he can give lots of talks over and over again. Every day he gives talks, and he does. He's got this. Almost inexhaustible supply of stories that he uses to illustrate the Dharma, but if you're like one of Ajahn Brahm's monks, like I have been for 10 going on 10 years, Yeah, even he's got a limited store of stories. So you get repetition, but it's okay because the Dharma is pretty simple. The meditation is pretty simple as well. It was I remember doing Armidale years and years ago when I probably maybe 2013 I started again. Yeah, I finished my Upatak duties and they started wheeling me out in front of crowds. And we talked about the way to clarity in the mind. So it was quite well received back then. I don't think I've actually mentioned it since then. I just was using the kind of way of describing meditation, how you go from having like a really busy mind, you've been working all day, or you've got projects, or there's just a whole lot of stuff going on in the mind when you first sit down to meditate. And that's just the state of mind we all have, unless you're lucky enough to be a monk and you happen to be here in a retreat period, which we're not now, so we're busy like the rest of you, but we'll have our three months to chill out come July. I think it's less than 5 months now. But then you have the problem of all of this free time that you don't know what to do with. So, you know. Either way, but if you do have a busy mind and you sit down to meditate, you can't sort of expect it to settle down and just start watching the breath straight away, because you got to wait for a while. You got to wait for that space to develop in the mind. Where the mind's sort of clear enough to watch the breath. And to me it's a bit like having this sort of glass of water, and the glass of water is like just full of mud, right? So it's got all this grit and sand and stuff suspended in it. So the best way to make that cup of water, that glass of water clear, is to put it down, right? So you put it down and maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. It's really, really muddy. Maybe it's like 20 minutes or something. But after a while, all of that dirt and stuff just settles down, and the water becomes clear. You can see straight through it. You can see through the other side, and that's very much like the experience of meditation. You just have to put in the time, try and squeeze in if you're a busy person, just try and squeeze in a sit here and there between whatever you have to do, whether that's, you know, just helping get a new door on the hall. Have you seen a door on the hall? Anyone who hasn't seen the door on the hall has to go out and have a look tonight. You might need a torch or something, but it's a pretty fantastic door. So between that and recovering usernames for Microsoft Office, there's plenty of time to meditate. So, but then you sit. But yeah, you know, if you give yourself the time and take the time, hopefully each day, to spend a little bit of time meditating, then when you do have that, when you do sit down, it does come back, and that nice peaceful mind is sort of there for the taking, and. Yeah, all it takes is just to sort of sit there for a while and just be patient. And all those thoughts of the future and past, they settle down like the mud. And the inner commentary settles down to the bottom. And then, yeah, all that a lot of the negativity that we accumulate throughout the day also settles down. And that's... Yeah, it's a very nice feeling, because after a nice meditation, a lot of what might have worried you, upset you, made you angry, or grumpy, or whatever, some of that's gone. It depends on the sort of power of meditation, but there's always that little bit of calm and peace, and fewer worries, I think, as well. You learn to stop worrying. In a way, I mean, Ajahn Brahm's often talking about letting go as a practice. He's most, while St. Peter's away, I was in charge of finding a talk for people to listen to. And I'd heard about the Ajahn Brahman mentioned this talk, The Four Ways of Letting Go. And I thought, oh, okay, this is his most popular talk. So on YouTube, it's got 1.4 million downloads. So this whole letting go business is actually pretty popular these days. So yeah, a lot of that is just letting go of like Ajahn Brahman tells the story of the two bad bricks. Has anyone not heard the story of the two bad bricks? Everyone's heard the story of the two bad bricks. And yeah, anyway, there's just another way of explaining, you know, you got two bad bricks and there's like 998 good bricks. And yeah, if you can sit in meditation and you know, have that contentment and sort of say, wow, you know, ooh, 998 good bricks, wow, life's good, then the meditation will go well, the mind will settle down, become peaceful, and things like watching the breath or body sweeping, whatever, it just makes it a lot more pleasant, a lot easier, just by allowing all that stuff to settle down. So that's how you settle the mind. So that's the
I'm counting bricks now.
That's right. How many good bricks? Jeez, 999. That's pretty good. 998, I should say. There's two bad bricks in there.
But where are the two bad bricks?
Sorry, where are they? I don't know. You know why I don't know? Because, like, although I lived at Bodhnyana from most of the time from 2006 up until today. Well, I've been here for next week for 4 months. In that time, I've never actually gone looking for the bad bricks because I thought, well, that's kind of counterproductive, isn't it? But, I don't know. No, I'm not a brickie either, so I probably wouldn't even realise that it's a bad brick. You see, I'm not an expert on bricks.
I've been asked about 10 times by the hours of letting go.
Have you found it?
By different people.
Have you found it?
No.
You found it?
I think they've already told toilet block in the first building they built.
The ablution block down there. Yeah. Oh, the ablution block's great. No, it's just the... it's a great piece of work, you know, because when they were first put in there to build it, they realised that, you know, these hills out here are just full of granite, and granite's is hard stuff. Mm-hmm. This is back in the early 80s, so back then you could sort of walk down to, there wasn't any Bunnings back there, you walk down to Mitre 10 and pick up a stick of gelignite. No, it probably wasn't that easy, but it's a lot easier than it was today. So the monks went down there to excavate this place so they could put in a ablution block with showers and toilets, all of the things that the sangha would need. And they weren't sure how to use gelignite, but they decided on the technique of getting some gelignite, putting it on the rocks, and then piling rocks on top of it. Yeah. Then they went for a, I guess they lit the fuse, went for a good walk, just to make sure they're out of danger. And they were, I think they're hiding up pretty much where the female guest quarters is now. So you got a rough idea of how far that is. Mm. So the gelignite went off, and the rock underneath was unscathed. But the rocks on top flew through the air, so they had boulders raining down on top of them. So in the end, they decided to put a slab on top of the rocks, which is a bit more sensible. It's a pretty good ablution block. It's still there. It's had it's had a bit of a facelift recently. But if you look in there, you'll find the two bad bricks, and underneath you'll find the perfectly good slab of granite that they should have built on top of first, rather than trying to get rid of. So there we go. So that's for a bit of a rambling talk in the style of Ajahn Brahm. What do you think? Should we can start some meditation? Does anyone have any requests before we start the
body sweep?
You like the body sweeping last week? Yeah. I don't know. We did it 2 weeks and a fortnight. Okay, let's do that again. Let's go with that. Go with a bit of body sweeping. I'll be taking requests from now on. So you'll have to think of ideas for me in the next 2 weeks. Okay, I've got my little thing. All right. So, before we start sweeping the body, it's time to settle into the present moment. Into the quiet outside. So, the most important thing when you first sit down is to have a nice place to relax. And there's not too much to trouble the mind. Nice and quiet. Not too hot, not too cold. And okay. Just here to rest and relax. So, what's going on in your left foot? What's happening down there? Is it pressing against the floor? Is it comfortable? Left foot all the kindness in the world. Feel that relaxation flowing up through your ankle. Just left ankle today, for a start. Up into your calf and shin. Been walking around all day. So have some gratitude to your left calf. Your left foot. Spread that matter through your left knee. How many times has that knee flexed today? Always there on call. Now you can rest. Become still. And with kindness and gratitude, turn your attention to that part of the body between your left knee and your hip. And just let that kindness sink through the skin, all the way into the middle of your thigh, feel that relaxation flow from left to the right, down into your right thigh, with kindness, with gratitude. Let that physical sensation of kindness flow down through your right knee, trickling down your leg, relaxing as it goes. Let the lower right leg become peaceful. Your whole body from the waist down. Completely chilled. Feel your hands, your knees, and your lap, wherever they are. Just going limp. Just resting there. Feel the sensations in the tips of the fingers. Most sensitive part of skin. Feel your knuckles. Relax and still. Let all the tension out of your hands. Let the relaxation flow up through your wrists. And you're doing just fine. Let your arms feeling like they've just been dipped in the water of relaxation. Right up to your elbows. Thank you. Feel your shoulders. Relax your shoulders. Let them feel like someone's giving you a nice massage. Everything's loose. Your arms and legs completely relaxed now. Now turn your attention to the center of your chest. Just become aware of the breathing. Just that physical sensation of in and out. And feel that relaxation spread down through your belly, down to your hips. And lots of metta. Lots of metta for your belly. Now work your way up to the base of your spine. sitting in your chair, you can feel it pressing against the chair. It's uncomfortable. Rising up to the middle of the back. Any aches and pains? Any knots? Just be mindful of them. Be kind. Rising up through your upper back, up to the shoulders, your chin hang down, relax your neck, muscles around the mouth, the cheeks, sinking towards your lap, just turn your attention to that part of the face between your eyes. Staring off 1,000 miles. Completely relaxed. top of the head. Pervade your whole body. All done so well, taking the time out of your day to meditate. So, thank yourself for making that attempt, and half an hour of peace and quiet, relaxed body, and hopefully a relaxed mind as well, nice and clear. Okay, cool. So, does anyone have any questions? Any suggestions? Yes,
Bill. In your preamble, you sort of mentioned that we should sort of study the line beforehand. Does it mean sort of a premeditation before meditation?
Yeah, I mean the first couple of minutes of the meditation is just a good time to sort of settle into your seat, settle into the room you're in, just. I suppose it takes a few minutes just to let go of the sense of sight, with the eyes closed, and yeah, things start to become still, and yeah, I mean there's no sort of special technique there at all. I just like to sort of take stock, I guess, of what's going on in the present moment, the mind, the body, and the space it's in, you know, whether it's here in this room, just feeling the sort of comfortable vibe here, the quietness, and just appreciating that. Or back in my cootie, my little cootie down the back, my little bedroom cootie. Just I like to just take a few moments just to appreciate having that space as well, you know. Just that the place where you often go to meditate. If you have that sort of place in your house, whether it's a room, if you have the luxury of space, or you know, the corner of your bedroom, if there's a place to sit down and meditate regularly. Also, just to pay attention to your clothing, making sure you're comfortable. Loosen your belt, have a scratch, whatever you need to do in that first couple of minutes. And then also, I mean, Ajahn Brahm's, having listened to Ajahn Brahm for a long time talking about meditation, he often says that those first couple of minutes are also the time to give the mind instructions. So that's actually a really important part of meditation where, that's right, I mentioned it at Armadale Group a couple of weeks ago. 3 weeks ago now? That long? Yeah, 3 weeks ago. I was just saying that, you know, often, especially if I'm not very peaceful when I begin the meditation, I can get into the habit of tapping along to music. I have to admit, it's usually a tune. But a good thing to do is, like, the next time you sit down, you can say, "Oh, okay, you know, I'll be mindful of that. Be mindful of that tapping, and make peace with it." That actually works, you know. You can do it. You can do that. You can't. What doesn't work is when you sit down and you say, "Okay, I'm going to do this. Then I'm going to do that. And after that," and give yourself a whole list of instructions. But simply just to take one thing that you're having difficulty with, say, "Oh, you know, I keep thinking about that." That thing that person said to me today, or a week ago, and I keep going back to that and I can't let it go. So today, when I sit in meditation, first couple of minutes, I sit there and I can give the mind instructions. I can say, okay. So I know that if I worry about what that person said, then this meditation is not going to be very peaceful. So I'm going to apply the medicine. So I'm going to have metta. Every time that thought comes up, I let it go with metta. And that's actually quite effective. But like I say, it usually works with one thing. You can't sort of give your mind too many things to do, or it'll tend to drift off into trying to control things, I think, trying to think too much about the meditation. But definitely at the beginning of the meditation, or you might sit down and you're not so sure what sort of meditation you want to. You might be a person who does the same thing every day, but you might want to have a bit of variety in your meditation. So maybe if you sit down and anger's a good example, you know, if you have that sort of negativity, you can actually just say, "Well, the way to metta is through letting go of the negativity. So, just to let go of the fault-finding mind." And I sit down. I think, I need some metta in my mind. I don't tend to go through the common practice of sort of spreading it to yourself or spreading it to this person, that person, this place, that place. You can do it that way if you like, but for me, I find that once I've let go of a lot of the negativity in the mind, and there's not a lot there, it's not a fairly, I, I find it fairly easy to let go of a lot of negativity. And once it's gone, then the natural inclination of the mind is towards metta. And just reminding myself of that at the beginning of the meditation, just say, okay, so, yeah, so letting go of negativity, nothing to find fault with, they have this really nice state of mind. So programming the mind at the beginning is actually a very, very, very helpful technique. Yeah, so that's sort of what I meant when I was giving the guided meditation today. Just at the beginning of the session, you can let things settle down, and also to sort of that's the time to give instructions to the mind. Throughout the meditation, you have to let go of the evaluation as well of what's happening here and now. So you wait until the end of meditation to take stock of what's happened. Not so much to think too much about what happened, but also just to, again, as it is at the beginning of the meditation, to just to come in and observe the mind after meditation and see the calm that's come over that period, or the metta that's arisen, or whatever good qualities that have come up in the mind, and just to appreciate them. So, yeah, there's sort of those sort of bookends to each meditation. Yeah. Okay, hold there.
How do you stop the evaluation process? I just realised that I've been doing that through the meditation.
Wow, okay. So you got a job for your next meditation, right? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do at the beginning of the meditation?
Programming. Am I using C or an XML?
Well, all you have to do is just to say, okay, well, the time to investigate the meditation is at the end. And that's all you have to do. You just program your mind. After a while, I mean, it's not 100% every time, but it's a very useful technique. Yeah. And just to appreciate the feeling that you have, that it's a really good encouragement for the just to keep up the practice. Like I was saying at the beginning today, just to have that time to squeeze in a sit, or if you want to do walking meditation or whatever, just squeeze it in between the jobs we've got to do. And if you make that a habit, then yeah, you do make progress, and it gets easier. Yeah.
I think I've been doing it for quite a while now.
Yeah.
That I think about it.
Mm. What's that, evaluation? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ajahn Brahm talks about the really deep states of meditation, where he talks about jhanas. Or even just before you get into jhana, there's this the state that, where you're aware of an imitter. And I hope most of you have read the basic method of meditation, where Ajahn Brahm goes into the very deep states of meditation. And he says that, if you've got this really bright, bright, powerful nimitta in front of you, and suddenly you go, wow, look at that, then you're back to square one again.
Yeah.
You had some fun and you've had some real blissful states, and they'll stay with you for a while, but you really have to save the wows to the end. That's what he says in the basic method of meditation. Yeah. So, endless practice. Don't worry, you know. It's, even if you've been meditating for 20, 30 years, these are still sort of basic principles. Just have patience. Someone else have any questions? Any thoughts? What do you think? Okay, maybe it's already 8 o'clock, I know, but
Yeah. Where did that go?
I don't know. My, how time flies. Okay. So, we can end the session today by sharing the merits with, well, everyone, basically.
Yeah.
We've done some good today. We've all done some good today, so let's share it. Yeah. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize nirvana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge, and surpassed is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble Lord, the Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled.